If I could have your attention. I am all that stands between you and dinner. I knew that would get your attention, Marshall. I have two announcements. First of all, we're calling now for the shuttles. They'll be here 6:15 or thereabouts. So I plan to be done fairly soon. I hope hope you are, because I'm leaving. Meet tonight in the lobby of the Omni at 7:20 for dinner at 7:30. It's just walk up the mall the same way we did last night, and it's right about the same place. And the
shorter.
And the restaurant is called Shabin, and it's a South African restaurant in which you will have great latitude to do whatever you want. No, to eat whatever you want, and so on. If you have reimbursements, like parking at airports or taxis to airports or what have you, coming out of this, shoot Marcus an email when you get back home, and he'll just tell you how to get reimbursed on those. No in-room movies, though. Just okay. What we met briefly. You can imagine how difficult this is to bring a meeting with so many ideas together, but we think we did. What we're going to do is Greg will take a shot at writing a draft of this, and the six or seven of us who sat in there will read it over and play editor, and he'll go crazy when he gets six or seven sets of comments from us, but he's used to that. And if, as I mentioned these things, I'm going to do it in a very broad sense. If there's something that you think I've missed that's just critical, fire an email off either to Rich Novak or Rick Ligon or to the Miller Center, to Mike Mullen or Marcus, and just say, you missed this point, and I really do think it ought to be in there. We are not going to try to get consensus from a group of 50 people on a document. I've been down that road before. We're not going to try to do that.
You know, I know it's four or five different people to write an email to, or it's just one? Like,
I'm going to give you your choice, Art. If you'd rather do it to AGB, do it to AGB. If you want to do it to the Miller Center, do it to the Miller Center. You do it either way you want. Hmm? And they will... I think it will be classified as spam no matter how you do it, Art. if it's from you. Okay. Generally speaking, what we found throughout the day was a broad-based agreement on what the issues were. And the issues had to do, obviously, with the workforce and the need for the changes in the workforce and preparation of a workforce as the demographics of the United States change, and they change in ways having to do with age, having to do with diversity. And as a condition of unequal access persists, and in fact probably gets more grave, that these things need to be addressed. That the reward systems that we have used in higher education in the past multi-decades are 20th century reward systems. And we are now busy building a system, as Jim pointed out, not just for the next 10 years, but for the next century, this century into which we have entered. And heaven knows how it will develop, but we know it's going to be different, and we know we need different reward systems for it. We have a sense that what is critically important and will emerge as a pattern in American higher education is a pattern of lifelong learning in which not only do people return again and again, but they may in fact find incentives to return again and again, a little like you'd find in the medical profession or the legal profession for continuing professional education. And as people change jobs, obviously we've been through that. In all of that, we find a sense of weakened governance in the states, not crisis, but just we may be in a down phase in state governance, but it is something to which we need to direct our attention, and it is a context within which we write. So we're looking way down the road in a time when governance might not be as strong in many states as we would hope there would be, hope it would be. And a highly differentiated set of states and colleges and universities within them. One of the things we talked about earlier in our breakout group applies to states and institutions, and that is all institutions are different, but none is as different as it thinks it is. All states are different, but none is as different as it thinks it is. So while there are great similarities, there are also differences, and within states, there are huge differences. So generally speaking, the agenda that we see, based on today's discussion, includes teaching, but with a focus on completion. We want more people to go to college, and we want more people to finish, to successfully pursue an academic program. Research, of course, and we don't mean in any way to cut research off, but research in a rational way. Not everybody aspiring to become a Research One university, but focus our attention state by state as appropriate on a research strategy that makes sense for that state. And then engagement in the affairs of the communities around our colleges and universities so that we become a partner in a broader set of activities having to do with the social and economic well-being of the regions in which our institutions are a part, and of course then in turn of the states to which they are, with which they are aligned. That means, obviously, that the whole funding mechanism in many states will need to be revised. I can't say how many of them will need to be scrapped or started over, but a lot of them are going to need very careful attention because we're changing the priorities, basically. And we are saying here that it isn't a matter of educating the best and the brightest, it is educating the most. And that will be a change. And we need to commit our leadership, and we need to commit our leadership both within the institutions, within the governing boards, and then within the political world to standards of performance that are relevant to this century. And those standards might not be the standards with which we have become used to working in the 70s, 80s, 90s of the last century. But it will require our trustees and our institutions to be well-schooled, well-versed in these standards, and it will require, therefore, that we do, as higher education, a much better job of selling our thoughts, communicating what it is we think. If we develop this and it goes on the shelf, it isn't worth the damn. Now, the other thing that we will acknowledge, we will not make this an argument for all of education, but we will acknowledge the critical importance of K through 12 becoming a better source of students, which means improving its high school graduation rates and the competence of its students. And we will also acknowledge that for the next 10 years, looking out the next 20 years, we will acknowledge the importance of recognizing the early childhood dimensions of education and and especially the children of those in Virginia, 700,000 men and women who are in the workforce who never finished high school. In other words, the functional illiteracy of today will be the functional illiteracy of tomorrow unless we adjust it and address it. So we're not going to make an argument that is comprehensive for all of education, but we clearly want to address those and put us in a context of them as we move along. I'm not entirely sure what the title of this paper is. I'm going to leave that to Rick and the governor. Mission Impossible was suggested, but Charlie's Angels was also suggested, but I think that's not going to stick. But that's what we're planning on writing. The one other phrase that we came up with that I thought was quite compelling in terms of what we need to do and how we need to put it. We have a set of national purposes, and they're articulated, however, abruptly by me just a few minutes ago. But we're clearly and keenly aware that while we have national purposes, the solutions are local. And we like the word local because local means a lot of things. It can mean the local university or the local community college, or it can mean the locality, and it can mean the local region which crosses state borders. And are there opportunities to cross state borders? Well, it's not easy. On the other hand, does SREB have a history of crossing state borders? You betcha. And there's no reason in the world why WICHE or the Middle States Association can't also be crossing those borders. So we don't want to be tied down by the borders when you've got a city like Kansas City sitting on one. So we'll try to work that in, and national purpose, local solutions. I'd be happy to take any questions, but if you want to get going and get on a bus, you don't want to ask too many. That's a threat. Yeah, we probably will say that. Mark was at the National Governors Association, and he mentioned Tom Friedman standing up and saying, this nation does not have an energy policy as the price of gasoline goes over $4. Our sense is we do not have an education policy, a higher education policy in this country. And we probably will say something like that, and depending on how quickly we can get this out, that may be a challenge that could be a useful challenge in the coming months. Thanks, Mike. Well, thank you, folks.
Thank you, Gordon, and thank all of you. I think it was Mark Twain who once said that being talked to death is a terrible way to go. And we've talked a lot today, but it's been very useful because the observations, the comments, the suggestions that you've offered will form the basis for the publication that AGB and the Miller Center will publish sometime in the near future. You do not have to subscribe to everything that's in that report, but you will recognize, I hope, the suggestions that have been made. You may recognize the conversations that we've had during the course of the day. But this has been a very useful conversation, I think, for us, examining the national purpose of American higher education. I think could not come at a better time and a more critical time for this country. So thank you all very much for being here. I'll turn it over to Rick in a moment. I hope to see most of you at dinner. We don't have to talk higher education, but I suspect we will. Thanks again.
It was about 24 hours ago that Jerry Belisle said that over the next 24 hours, we'd be worked very, very hard. I think we will work so hard that not everybody made it to the finish line, as you can see from those who remain. Nothing significant to add other than, first of all, Governor, thank you for your hospitality. I think the environment helped to create the kind and the quality of conversation that defined our day, and I think it was at the highest levels. As the governor said, and as Gordon said, where'd Gordon go? Where's Gordon? Hey, Gordon. Gordon, your role was central in getting us through the conversation, so thank you. Thank you for doing that for us. It was a great job. And all of us are looking forward to what we think will be a rather robust paper issued by Miller Center and AGB that could have some important implications in the months ahead and even in the next year or so. So thank you for your input, thank you for your time, and thanks for joining us.
Now, Rick and I have one last expression of thanks we'd like to offer. Last night at dinner, I mentioned Mike Mullen's contribution to the creation of this conference, and we took it from there, and Rick and the AGB staff and the Miller Center people have been working on this for some time. There's one individual in this room who's been an invaluable part of this conference, who has really been behind the scenes, on the phone with you, communicating by email, and that is Marcus Ingram.
Absolutely.
I would like for him to stand and let us applaud his contribution. He's been terrific, and now he will lead the way to the Omni and then to dinner and drinks. It's time
to
go.
Have a good evening.